Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Proverbs. We continue in our series through Proverbs. Find ourselves in Proverbs chapter 27 here this morning. Title of my message here is Wisdom for Relationships. Proverbs chapter 27, Wisdom for Relationships. 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, not thine own lips. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which is truth. And Father, I thank you that your word is settled forever in heaven, God. And Father, may your word be settled in our hearts as the eternal word of God that changes not. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, I pray that you bless this time together as we gather around your word. And Father, may your Holy Spirit empower and enlighten and guide us into all truth, for you're God of truth. So Lord, bless your word to our hearts. Help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and bring glory to your name. So Lord, bless us as we gather around your word, but give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, life is made up of relationships. Nancy and I were just talking to Kurt and Karen here the other day, and they were sharing about, they were watching a show on TV, one of these survival shows where they put you in a place, and these people had to live. They were given a choice of a knife or a string or some very basic things. And whoever could stay the longest there would win this big prize of $500,000, $1 million or whatever. But a lot of people gave up after 45 days, 60 days or whatever, 100 days. They'd give up. It wasn't because they were starving. Guess why they gave up? Because they were lonely. Now think about that. You have all the food you could eat, and you have $1 million waiting for you if you can hang through this thing and be the last one there, but you call it quits and go home because you're lonely. Now, what does that speak to the need of the human heart? Are we relational beings? Are we relational? Absolutely. God made us that way. You know, I've shared this before. I remember a study made of people who had near-death experiences. Like, they were, you know, their car went off a cliff and they thought they were going to die. And what was the last thing they thought about? And this person interviewed like 1,000 people or whatever it was. And just one common thing that always came up that they thought about was the people they loved. It wasn't their business. It wasn't how much stock they owned. It wasn't their career. None of those things. It was the people they loved was their last thoughts. Now, with relationships being so important, people don't like to be lonely. People don't, you know, they think about those they love at the last moment. Does God's word have anything to speak about relationships? Can we have any wisdom on how to make this work? Now, if truth be told, have any of us ever had a relationship we were struggling with? If truth be told. Anybody here today? Okay. I think every hand should be up in here. We all have had people we struggle with. I think it was, I can't think who said this. It's not original to me, but he said, the reason God tells us to love our neighbor and to love our enemy is sometimes they're the same person. Can that be true? You ever had a bad neighbor? Okay, that's a struggling relationship. Has a husband and wife ever had some struggles in their life? That's a struggling relationship. You ever had a boss at work that just drove you crazy? You just never could do anything right and you just don't know what to do. At the end of the day, you're just so frustrated. That's a struggling relationship. You know, we have relationships everywhere we turn. And there's a lot of people in this world, isn't there? And a lot of relationships. So does God have anything to say? Do we have any hope? Well, let's look at some of these verses here in this chapter. Now, God has given us Proverbs, the wisdom to understand life from his perspective and how to navigate through it. Is there any wisdom we can glean out of this about having relationships with people? Now, before we get into this, I want to say something about relationships. Everybody has a relationship with God, whether it's good or bad. Some people's relationship with God isn't good because they're not saved, they don't know God, they disobey him. But that's a relationship, although it's bad. Some people have a relationship with God because they're saved, they love God, they honor God. That's a relationship with God. Now, we have a relationship with other people all around us. We have, whether it's good or bad, think about yourself in light of what God says. What kind of person are you on the inside? Well, look at verse 2 here. It says, speaking about relationships, all right, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Let's just, a stranger, not thine own lips. Now, Proverbs often makes a statement and then follows it up with another statement saying it the same way, parallelism, they parallel things here. Let another man praise thee. Now, have you ever met somebody and after a few minutes of talking about him, the conversation always goes back to them? Do you know what I'm saying? You ever met people like that? It's always about them or what they've done or how they've done it. And they always, when that person never looks at you and says, how's your day going? Or what's new in your life? Or how are things going for you? You ever met somebody that's, they all, their own lips are praising them and that's all they're thinking about? Now, how does that work for a relationship? Does that build a very warm, fuzzy, close relationship with people if they're always talking about themselves and how they're doing and what they've done? Now, verse 1 talks about somebody that's what they're going to do. Verse 2 talks about what they've done. Verse 1 looks to the future. Verse 2 looks to the past. Let another man praise thee. Now, the minute you start praising yourself, depends who you're talking to. Because the minute you start talking about yourself, what does that person immediately start to do? They start to evaluate their life against your life. And you're praising yourself, how does that make that person feel sometimes? Not very good. If you're, because let's just say things, you did something really well and it went very good. Okay. The minute you start talking about it and boasting about it, who are you robbing glory to? Because who gives us strength to get out of bed in the morning? God does. And the minute we start saying, look what great things I've done, on and on and on it goes, it's robbing God of glory, and it can make other people feel bad. You're always better off in relationships in asking other people how they're doing and what's happening in their lives. You can't go wrong with that, because that's investing in other people's lives and encouraging them. Now, if you want praise, where should it come from? Not your mouth. Whose mouth? Somebody else's. Somebody else's. And that's scriptural. Because a man that praises himself, you know, it's the funny thing about pride. Pride is the only disease that makes everybody else sick except the person that has it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the person that has it just glories in it. Because they want the spotlight all to be on them. Now, for us as believers, as a true Christian believer, who should the spotlight be on all the time? On God, not on ourselves. And we want to be careful that we don't direct things in such a way that makes us look good at other people's expense or robs glory from God. Let another man praise you. Wisdom in relationships. Don't be a boaster. Don't be one that's always bringing the conversation around to you or what you've done. Let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth. A stranger, not thy own lips. Now, 3 and 4 here. A stone is heavy, sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Now, Proverbs, it talks about different kinds of people. Does Proverbs talk about the wise man? Yes, it does. Does it talk about the simple person? Yes, it does. Does it talk about the scoffer and the scorner? Yes, it does. Does it talk about the fool? Yes, it does. In relationships, what do you need to do? You need to be ever so wise. What kind of person is talking to me? And how do you evaluate that? Because you're not critiquing people in the sense of trying to find fault with them, but you're critiquing life and who is in front of you. Now, a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Now, a foolish person's wrath, you ever seen people get mad at the least little thing? They're an angry person. They're foolish. Now, I saw a man one time. He got upset about, I don't even know what he was upset at. I just remember what he did. He punched a concrete block wall. He was so angry. Okay? Now, that's what he did. He just punched the wall. Is that foolish or not? How many would say that's foolish to punch a block wall? I would say that's pretty foolish. That's an angry person. But what would happen to you if you got between him and the block wall? He probably wouldn't hesitate to hit you. A fool's wrath. You don't want to get in the way of it. Now, I saw story one time, I think it was in Florida. This man got angry about something, and he drove his truck through his patio door, through the living room, out through the front of the house, just drove his car right through the house. Is that foolish or not? When they took the picture of it and put it in the paper, he says, oh, that won't be hard to fix. I think if you drove your car through your house, that'd probably be a little hard to fix. I think he was minimizing how foolish he was. That won't be hard to fix. What does it say here? A fool's what? A fool's wrath. Stone is heavy, sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavy in the book. You get around a foolish person and they're an angry person, you got a dangerous person you're around. Now, you want wisdom in relationships? What do you do with a person that's given to being angry like that and just wrathful? You got to avoid them at some extent. You got to put a little distance there, because you get too close to them, guess what? They're going to suck you into their problems. And you don't want to be part of that man's world. Because some people just have a way of drawing people into their world. So, the simpleton, the foolish, the scoffer, the scorner, the wise man. You got to be evaluating people. A fool's wrath is heavier than both. Wrath is, and you don't care about that. Wrath is cruel. Anger is a torrent. It just keeps flowing. It's outrageous. It just keeps flowing. But who's able to stand before envy? Now, in relationships, you can have people that are cruel, people that are angry, people that have envy and jealousy. Are you evaluating those kind of people in your life? Because you have to look and see who is standing in front of me. Because in a relationship, you've got to understand who you're dealing with here. All these things happen in relationships, and you want to have wisdom that you can avoid. Now, look at verses 5 and 6, wisdom in relationships. An open rebuke is better. Talk here for a minute. Can you take criticism? Now, there is destructive criticism and there is constructive criticism. Destructive criticism, all they're doing when they criticize, they want to tear you down. They're not looking to help you. They just want to see, in some people's mind, if they can lower you down, then that puts them up higher. That's destructive. But can you receive constructive criticism from a friend? If your constructive criticism, faithful are the wounds. Now, does a wound feel good or does that hurt? A wound hurts. But a wound, now, if you got skin cancer and the surgeon cuts that cancer out of your body and he wounds you, is that a good wound? Because he removed the poison, the cancer that was in your body. That's a good wound. You know, in relationships, wisdom, can you receive criticism, constructive criticism, faith for the wounds of a friend? Somebody's got your best interest in mind. Now, what is a working definition of a friend? I like this one. A friend is somebody that walks into your life when your world has walked out. That's a friend. Your world is devastated, but your friend walks in at that point and says, hey, I got your back here. I'm with you. That's a friend. That is somebody that takes got your best interest. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now again, wisdom and discernment, you gotta be, who is my friend? Because the second part of here contrasts, but the kisses of an enemy are what? Deceitful. You ever gone into a used car lot and the salesman comes up? He can just talk 100 miles a minute about everything about your life and everything. The bottom line is, why is he spending time talking to you? Because he wants your what? He wants your money, because he wants to sell a car. So he'll tell you anything you want to hear because he wants to sell a car. Now, there are people that are manipulators. They say what you want to hear, but they're really using you to get what they want ultimately. Now, the kisses, now, that's a sign of affection, of goodwill, of warmth. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. When you hear that verse, do any of y'all go to the Garden of Gethsemane? What did Judas do to the Lord? He betrayed him with what? a kiss. Was he a friend or an enemy of Christ? He was an enemy. See, in wisdom in relationships, you've got to be very discerning. Very discerning who your friends are. Because your friends can build you up or tear you down. Who are you hanging with? And God has here for us faithful the wounds of a friend. You know, if you have a friend that tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, is that a good friend? That's a good friend. And you ought to be thankful for that. If they tell you what you need to hear. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Now, we have a new nature as Christians, but we have an old nature too. And sometimes that old nature overshadows the new nature. And sometimes a good friend can come along and say, what you doing? Why are you doing that? And those are the faithful wounds of a friend. We need to have times where we stand in the place where we're humble enough and meek enough to accept the faithful wounds of a friend. Be wise. Wisdom for relation. God's trying to tell you, be wise here. If you've got a good friend and they're helping you in an area of weakness in your life, then you need to be thankful, even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. Now, verse 7, the full soul loath honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Now, I want to make this application here to this verse. It stands alone in how it speaks, but there are some people that have so many relationships that they are just overwhelmed, and you're trying to interact with them and all these kind of things, and that's all fine and well. But can you ever think of a hungry soul that has nobody in their life? Now, I'll give you an example. COVID has put a lot of older people in nursing homes where they sat almost a year in quarantine in their room. Do you think they would appreciate somebody coming by and seeing them? Would that be a hungry soul? And we in our lives, we got our close friends and we can buzz all around them. I understand, and they're good friends and we need that. But is there a hungry person out there in relationships that we can bless because they're so hungry? For somebody just to come by. When Jim mentions these people in prison, that blesses me because Jesus, sick and in prison, you visited me. There's people out there that are hungry for somebody just to come by and say, hi, I'm thinking about you. By way of application for verse 7. As a bird that wanders, verse 8, from her nest, so the man that wanders from his place. Verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Men, do you like hanging out together? You know what I'm saying? The hearty counsel we can, that we as men have hearty counsel with each other. Counsel of the soul. We talk about the deeper life's issues in life sometimes. That strengthens our relationship with each other. It strengthens our walk with God. It strengthens each other. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about a threefold cord is not what? Easily broken. You have some good friends and you have hearty counsel together, it's going to strengthen your life. Look at verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of their calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. Now, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Does there need to be some loyalty in friendships? You ever been betrayed by somebody that you thought was your friend and they turned on you? That hurts. And we should be very careful that the friendships we've nurtured over the years that we maintain and we honor, because you never know when you're going to need your friends. Because in this situation here, this verse is thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that's your friend, that you've nurtured a relationship than a brother is afar off. If your house is burning and your brother lived 20 miles away and your neighbor was just across the street, who would you call to help put the fire out at your house? You get your neighbor. The time your brother got there, your house might be burnt down. You know, your neighbors are important to have good relationships with. And we want to nurture that. We want this wisdom in relationships. Be loyal to your friends. Don't forsake them. And did you catch that in verse 10? And thy father's friends forsake not? Our relationships are interwoven. In other words, the friends that our parents have and the children have, they're all this interrelationship that works. And if we dishonor our father's or our mother's friends, it's a way of dishonoring them too. Scripture, maintain these relationships. Have this wisdom in relationships that your own friends and your father, don't forsake them. Honor these relationships that have taken years to build and to nurture them and build them up. Now look at verse 11. It kind of goes into verse 10 and 11 are connected there. My son, be wise, make my heart glad. Now you got a father-son relationship here. A son says, how can I make your heart glad? That I may answer him that reproaches me. Now, you'll have those that reproach you. What does that mean? Those that speak critical about you. Take a stand for Jesus, and will you have people speak critical of you? You do the right thing, and it shows other people up. They're going to find fault with you. Ask Daniel how it went for him. They couldn't find any fault with him, and he was going to be put over all the kingdom. And what did they do? They wanted to what? Cut him down. He was a good man, but they wanted to cut him down because they couldn't stand that they couldn't be in his position. Those that reproach me, my son, be wise, make my heart glad. Don't give my enemies any cause to reproach me. I got enough problems on my own to answer them. In building wise relationships, make sure you honor your parents. Be wise. Make their heart glad. The people they have conflicts with, you don't add fuel to the fire by doing things that dishonor them. This is wisdom in relationships. Parents, have you ever had anything your children done that dishonored you? Did that grieve you and quench you and just bring you down? Sure. We want to make sure that we have wisdom in these relationships that God has ordained. Now look at verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth evil. What does he do? What does it say there in verse 12? What does a prudent man do with evil? What does he see? He what? Hideth himself. He avoids it. He goes in a different direction. A prudent man is one that's thinking ahead. Now you got relationships. And you meet somebody. And, you know, is a friendship going to form here? What's going to happen here? You've got to be careful because if you meet somebody and they tell you how they were able to, I met this lady one time and she was talking to me and she said, guess what happened to me today? I said, what? She said, I was at the grocery store and the cashier gave me $10 in change too much. And she was so happy about that. I heard that, I thought, what did that tell me about that person right away? She wasn't honest. And two, she had no interest in going back and giving that money back once she found it. Now, if you hear somebody say stuff like that and you're thinking ahead, would I ever trust that person with my money? Do you know what I'm saying? So you've got to be so careful here. A wise man, a prudent man, foreseeth the evil. He avoids these problems. The simple pass on and are punished. Now, the simple see the same thing the prudent man did, but he passes on. And guess what happens? He goes, I never saw that coming. You ever heard somebody say that? I never saw that coming. And guess what? It hits. Didn't you think about that? So in building wise relationships, wisdom in relationships, look at the kind of person you're talking to. And if they are devoid of character and are not one that is have good character, you want to avoid those people. You don't want to build a relationship with them that can bring you down. Be wise. Be very wise in your relationships. Be prudent. Think ahead. Where is this taking me? What's going to be the result of this? Verse 13, take a garment that is surety for a stranger and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. If you get into some type of financial agreement with them in relationships, make sure you're protected. Make sure you're protected. Now, I like verse 14 here. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, shall be counted a curse to him. How many morning people are here? Any early risers? How many like to sleep till the sun is bright and hot overhead? You know what I'm saying? Some of us, we stay up late at night and sleep in. Other people, they go to bed early and they rise up early. There's different kinds of people. If you're a morning person, you want wisdom in a relationship, don't go to your neighbor who stays up all night and sleeps in during the day and say, good morning, how you doing, banging on the window. What's he going to do? He's going to start cursing you. Get out of here. You're waking me up. What does that say about wisdom in a relationship? Respect other people that aren't like you. There's morning people, there's night people, but respect each other. We're not all the same. And in building relationships, you got to make sure that this wisdom, that you understand this kind of person. Now, you bless your friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning. Everything he's doing, and some people, they walk away like, what's his problem? Well, his problem is you, because you're rising up and early and blessing him when he's still trying to sleep because he's a night person. Wisdom in relationship. Understand God's made us all different, but make sure when you want to be a blessing, you're really a blessing and not a curse. Not a curse. Wisdom in relationship. Look at verse 15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day. Now that's like a roof that leaks. Now, you know, we've got roofs today that are shingled and metal and all kinds. In those days, they had thatch roofs, okay, in the rain. And sometimes, now, water drops, they follow each other. And if you get a wet spot in your thatch roof, it'll just keep coming through and it'll just keep dripping. And it's very irritating in your house to have the roof leaking on you, raining, dripping here, dripping there, just an irritation. Again, this contrast here, continual dropping or dripping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Now, wisdom in relationships, a contentious woman. Now, I don't have anybody in mind here this morning. I'm not thinking about anybody, okay? Nobody's in mind here, okay? But are there some contentious women in this world? You just can't make them happy. And there's men are the same way too, ladies. I'm not picking on you. It's just, that's our verse here. A contentious woman. Now, verse 16 explains verse 15. Whosoever hideth her, restrains her, can restrain the wind. Now, man, have you ever had very good success in going out and holding the wind back with the palm of your hand? Can you restrain the wind by just grabbing it? No, it just goes right on by you. And you know, some people, they're just having a bad day. I mean, a bad day. And if there's a storm outside, if you, say it's thunder and lightning and rain, the wind's blowing the branches off your tree, if you went out there and started yelling at the storm, would that do any good? What's the best thing to do? Just go in your house, let the storm be over, and then go outside and enjoy the sunshine. Because sometimes a storm just has to blow through and you let it go. Whoever restrains her is like restraining the wind. You can't do it. Wisdom in relationship. Don't be a contentious woman. Just continually nagging and nagging and nagging. It's like a dripping roof. Well, men, verse 17 for you. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of who? His friend. What's a countenance? What's with your face? You have a good countenance, a bright face, a cheery face? There's a man one time in the gold mining days. He found this big thing of gold in his panning for gold, and he was so excited. He worked till dark. Next day he was going back, but he didn't tell any of his people around him because if they found his spot, he'd be done. So he goes back to his hotel room, and in the morning, he's got all of his gear. He goes out the door, and everybody's outside of his door just waiting for him to follow him where he goes. And he goes, "Who told you?" And they said, "You did, by that look on your face. You were grinning from ear to ear, and we knew you found some gold somewhere." And they were all ready to follow him wherever he went that day. That's our countenance. They called him the glory face. That's what they called him, the glory face, because it was all over him. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of who? His friend. Man, there's some guys out there having a tough time in life, and you can sharpen their countenance to be more like Christ. If you're up and they're down, guess what? Lift them up. That's wisdom in relationships. You find people that you can help them in their life. Older men, you can help these younger men. Some of these older businessmen, you've been there, done that, you're successful. Some younger men are struggling in their business, and you can sharpen them. You can say, "Hey, this is what worked for me. Do this, and this will help you out." And you can give them the wisdom. You can sharpen their life as iron sharpens iron. How does iron sharpen? You can help your friends out. That's what God is encouraging us to be there for each other. And 17 and 18, as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Verse 18, "Whoso keepeth a fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." In relationships, our employer to employee relationship, you work hard for the fig tree so you can eat the fruit, you take care of your tree, take care of your master. You serve him well. In relationship, you work hard for your employer, and you'll be honored at some point. If not by your employer, God will honor you as you honor. I don't know if you thought about this when you work. Who do you ultimately work for at your place of employment? Ultimately, it's God you work for. When you work, you're really working for God. As a Christian person, you're working for Him. And so when you do your work, you do it as what? Unto the Lord. And God will honor you for that either now or in eternity. But if you honor your employer well, you wait on your master well, wisdom in relationships. We all need wisdom. These are practical things we can do as people. Now, question. How are your relationships in life going? Husband to wife, wife to husband, employee to employer. Brother to brother, sister to brother, all these relationships, whichever way you want, how's it going? And if you got some good ones, praise the Lord. If you got some bad ones, you need some wisdom. How are you going to deal with it? A lot of these verses here touch upon all these different dynamics and how much we need the wisdom in relationships to make them work, because they're the most important thing in life. When you get down to the end of your life, the people you loved and the people loved you are the most important things in your life. Well, let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've looked at wisdom and relationships here this morning, we pray as your people that we would honor you in our lives and live in such a way that we would draw men and women, boys and girls to you. But Lord, we live a life that we would love our neighbors, we love ourselves, and we would do good to people when they don't do good to us. That we would live a life that has wisdom in our relationships, that we would see evil, that we would see how this relationship is going the wrong way and we're not going to continue in it. And Father, help us forsake the evil and cling to that which is good and nurture good relationships centered in Christ and in the Word of God as your people. And Father, we all have various levels of relationships, but our ultimate relationship is found in Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us toward this end to have a good walk with our Savior and a good relationship with those around us you've brought into our lives. And Father, I pray for the marriages here represented, that you'd bless those marriages. And I pray that each one, the husband would work in loving his wife, and the wife would work on loving her husband. And Father, that we could see marriages strengthened and lives increased in the knowledge and goodness of the Lord. So Father, bless us in our relationships. In the week that comes before us, may we honor you and handle them very wisely. And Father, we pray toward this end that you would help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.